Hey, listeners, it's Thursday. That means it's time for another training topic from PursueGod.org. Pursue God is a resource library that helps you to make disciples at home, at church, in your community. You can find today's topic with discussion questions to go along with it at PursueGod.org/training. Okay, Ross, today we're finishing up our board member training series. So we're on episode number 5. Last time in episode 4, we talked about the traits of a good board, kind of in general terms. And today we're going to finish kind of talking to the individual. We're going to talk about practices of a great board member. Now, we're going to save sort of the broad brush strokes for the end of today's episode, because we want to really challenge people as they're going away from this series, individual board members, to really take their responsibility seriously. And we're going to give people 5 traits to be prayerful about and to continue to develop in their own lives. But why don't we start by being really specific about preparing for board meetings? Because we talked about this last week, that agendas and being mindful about the board meeting is really important. And so, you know, I think one of the main things I'd want to tell a new board member at our church is, hey, look, don't just sort of show up unprepared. Don't just show up willy-nilly. Like, these board meetings are really important. Your voice matters. And so let's talk through some things. I think some really important directives to give board members. And the first one just is what I mentioned. Just make sure that you're prepared in advance. What would that look like?
Yeah, for sure. Now, part of that, I think a bigger picture element of that is to understand really what's happening in the board meeting. Why? Why do we meet as a board? And I think there's 4 purposes. One is we're seeking God together. Number 2, we're getting good information. We're trying to get good information about things in life of the church. We're going to discuss issues from various perspectives and hear different points of view about some different things. Ultimately, we're going to commit the church to action. That's what's happening in a board meeting. And that's why you can see from that why it's important to be prepared in advance. Now, in a previous episode, we talked about how the planning of the agenda occurs, how the chairman and the senior pastor are planning the agenda for each meeting and helping the board to know what's going on. And so the point of that is that no important issue ever gets discussed at a meeting without board members having thought about it in advance. And that means they need information. And so that another related to that is that no important issue gets voted on at a board meeting unless the board has had plenty of opportunity to discuss it, to understand it and discuss it. So that's happening. So that involves advanced preparation from the leaders of the board, sending out that document a few days in advance at least. But then board members are responsible to read that stuff through and to carefully think about it and comprehend it and then spend some time praying about those decisions. And here's the thing that I don't think all of our board members necessarily understand is that if you need more information, you can talk to somebody before the meeting. You can ask clarifying questions. In the agenda, we always have a sense of like who's bringing this report or who is in charge of that issue. And so there's some phone calls that might need to be made before the meeting so you can be wise about how you discuss the issues. The point is, you know, there's some advanced preparation, and you don't come to the board meeting cold and ready to just, you know, make decisions off the cuff.
Okay, so then you show up to the board meeting, everyone's there. How is a board meeting for a church different than a board meeting in the workplace, right? So, Ross, talk about hearing the Spirit. Talk about the spiritual side of the board member's job.
Yeah. So, I mean, your question is a great question. And on some level, in the nuts and bolts kind of level, the board meeting of the church is like a board meeting. Only sometimes one of the differences, the church board members don't always, you know, take it as seriously as maybe a business takes it. But this is the big difference, because we're representing the body of Christ. We're representing God's vision and God's purpose for our community. And so boards need to hear the Spirit. And so there's a lot of opportunities that we have to learn to be led by God, to be empowered by God. And so the Holy Spirit, we have a sense of connection with the Spirit's leading when we come to the meeting with a sense of dependence on God. We're saying, man, I have an idea what I think we should do, or this seems to make sense, but we're totally dependent on God. And when the board maybe takes a minute to be still or to pray together about a challenging decision that comes up, the board's willing to slow down the process in order to not hurry to a decision, but to really let the Spirit work and lead. And that's why, you know, any board member at any time, not just the chairman who's leading, you know, he has the agenda, he's walking everybody through. Any board member at any time can ask the board to, hey, can we stop and pray about this? Now, I don't want to make it a ritual where it's like a formula that we pray about every decision or everything on the agenda. We stop and have a little prayer. That gets routine and maybe loses its life. But the board at any time might say, we need to pray about this. We're facing a major decision in the life of the church that's going to have major implications. Maybe our pastor is feeling, he appears to be discouraged, or maybe he's weary, or maybe the board is weary, or maybe when we need to give thanks to God and stop and say, hey, wow, God, that was awesome. God provided something that we've been praying for that we didn't know how we were going to do. And so we need to give God credit for doing those things. So I get part of the ground rules are that it's okay to interrupt the agenda, to engage in, you know, what I think maybe the real business of the meeting.
Yeah, some of the most powerful moments in the last year on our board, Ross, have had to do with just pausing and praying. You know, we always pray at the beginning of the meeting, but it is a good reminder. We do this in our staff meetings as well. You know, maybe somebody's sharing about a marriage struggle or an illness in their family, and we just even pause to pray in the moment for a specific need. And I think this is where the senior pastor probably needs to model this. Although hopefully the board gets a vision for that, and it becomes right. A culture of your team that you really are hearing the Spirit. And you do, if you do have a, you know, you're talking about finances and the finances are a hot mess. Maybe you just pause and say, you know what, guys, let's bring this to God right now. Let's trust God. Yeah. Let's lean on God. Yeah. Let's show our dependence on God. So yeah, I think that is, you know, again, on our board, Ross, and I think it's good. We talked about this in episode 1 or 2, like how do you identify a good board member? And a lot of these guys are business-minded guys, which is great. You need guys who have experience in the real world and can really bring something to the table, but it's not a business meeting first and foremost. It is a spiritual thing. And I think setting that tone with a bunch of businessmen in the room is important. And then that hopefully that tone will just continue to grow, and you really will learn to hear the Spirit.
Yeah, it's part of it. It's just giving those guys who have a different framework of doing things to giving them, because they're all godly guys. They love Jesus and they have personal devotional practices. But to say you have permission to bring that into this setting. This is not just a business setting first.
Okay, so Ross, talk for a second about, okay, you're in the meeting now. You're calling on God, you're depending on the Spirit, but now you got to vote on something, right? So talk about how voting works and how to look for consensus.
Yeah, I think it's important to try to develop consensus when we take an action. And so, you know, even every church's bylaws are going to state kind of what plurality or majority is necessary to pass a certain thing. And so we have certain, most of our decisions, the bylaws allow the board to make decisions based on a simple majority vote, which for us would be 4-3. We have seven board members. But some of them require 2/3 vote. If it's, you know, kind of the higher level of making a decision is more of a safeguard. But there's a sense in which, you know, you got to be thoughtful about that, because let's say that the decision is an important decision. Your bylaws allow for a simple majority. The board votes 4-3 on a, important issue that will shape the future of the church. And so legally the measure would pass, but there might be some concern that there's a lack of unity about that measure and how will it be implemented and how will it be supported in the long run if there's that lack of unity. That should give the board pause. And so this is something I've learned is that, and I think we have a sense of doing this in our board that we call it a straw poll. At least we have a sense of going, we never have taken a straw poll in our board. We have a sense of going around the room and getting a feel for kind of where the consensus is at. But if you said, hey, how would you guys vote? This isn't a vote, but we want to find out where you stand. And then you can decide whether or not you have a sense of unity. And if you don't, then you have to figure out, well, how do we get to unity? How do we get to consensus before we move forward? And so, you know, maybe the 4-3 is a good vote is a good way to say, wait, almost half of our board members don't think this is a great idea. So maybe that's at least a slow down, you know, sign from God. And so I'm not saying that unanimity is the goal, because what that does is that gives one board member a lot of power. Mm-hmm. That everything has to be 7-0. Then that one, if it's 6-1 over and over and over again, that one person has way too much power to hold the board hostage to their dissent. But often dissent can be a clue. Maybe more information is needed. Maybe more deliberation is needed. Maybe there's some private thing, maybe some things that are on that individual that they're going like, wait, and then they should be listened to for the sake of getting a better ongoing decision. What would make that decision more palatable for you? And so it doesn't necessarily mean that it's easy to get to a decision. Sometimes we just want to get to a decision, but sometimes reading the room, reading the votes, so to speak, and why people are voting differently can really help the board understand maybe an underlying issue, and it can help the board slow down enough to discover God's timing and God's leading.
Okay, so Ross, whose responsibility is it if there's a holdout on the board? Okay, so it's something where it's a majority vote matter, but you got one person who's really passionate about it. And it's kind of clear to the team that the decision's been made, that one person needs to just kind of get on board with it and be okay with it. Whose responsibility is it to sort of break the ice and kind of move the agenda forward so that you're not just stuck on that and arguing about it at, you know, forever?
Right. And that's a great point, because you can again kind of read the room and see what's the nature of the dissent, and you go, okay, well, this isn't going to change. Everybody's on this. Well, it can be, again, a self-policing board. It can be anybody who could make a motion that we consider this issue. Let's vote on it. Somebody says, let's vote on it. But certainly the chairman would want to be aware of those kind of things. The chairman is orchestrating kind of the flow of the agenda. And so, but you know, anybody can speak to that and say, hey, guys, I think we've understand this issue the best we can. I don't think we're going to get, you know, to a place of unanimity about this. And so can we vote?
Yeah. So let's talk about you're a board member, you're in these meetings. Let's talk about what it means to participate constructively, because you probably are pretty opinionated. That's why you're on, you know, hopefully you're not on the board because you're a yes man. Hopefully you really are going to speak your mind. You're going to, you know, bring up any issues or concerns you have. All of that is really good, but I think there's a, you know, there's a line you can cross where you're being argumentative. So talk about maybe some tips on how to participate constructively as a board member.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think everybody needs to feel like they can speak up, but nobody should feel like they're going to dominate the discussion. So yeah, I'm going to say my piece. I have to feel like I can say my piece. I can't be passive about that. But if I start to dominate the discussion, then the health of the relationship, relational health, and the health of the meeting goes downhill fast. I have to be willing to listen patiently, listen with respect. And when I do speak, how I speak is going to carry a lot of weight. You know, tone of voice. Am I speaking calmly? Am I speaking respectfully? Now, sometimes certain personalities are going to come on so strong, it feels like bullying a little bit. It feels like, or maybe ask questions in such a manner, like it feels like, whoa, that's a little bit too heavy. And so I want to be careful about how I engage that conversation. So I keep my ego in check. You know, if this isn't about me, that means I'm going to value other people even when I don't agree with them. So I have to keep in mind this, some basic, these are brothers in Christ. These are people we care about the same mission. We're on the same team. And so I'm going to value that person. That means I'm going to treat them right in how I address them. But on the other, so there's a kind of a, I don't want to be passive, but I don't want to be aggressive. And so part of it is, I want to be able to ask tough questions. I want to be able to raise difficult points, but I don't want to do it in a way that is demeaning to anybody or kind of bullying. And so if I had those kind of attitudes, those kind of behaviors are going to help the whole team feel like, you know, they're going to make a great decision together.
So Ross, that, you know, we started with the specifics that, you know, we're talking there about having great meetings and being a constructive participant in your board meetings. But I think it's good for us to finish this 5-week series on board member training by challenging every listener to cultivate 5 traits. And this first one might be my favorite one. And I think a lot of churches and boards might not think about this, but I think this is so important and so valuable. I think this mattered to Jesus, and we're talking about emotional maturity. How would you define emotional maturity then? And then how does a board member cultivate that in their own life?
Yeah, I think I would define emotional maturity as really being able to understand myself, my own emotions, what's going on within me, and also being able to understand or empathize with other people and other people's emotional life and what's going on within them, especially in a given moment, in a given situation. Do I get what's going on within me? Do I get what's going on emotionally with other people? That would be, you know, kind of a basic, it's a skill that matters because you're in relationship and you're working together as a team.
Yeah, we actually have a tool that we've used for years for every staff member, every volunteer, and every, of course, governing board member. We call it the profile of a healthy leader. We'll put a link to that in the show notes today. People are welcome to use that. Let's just talk through those real quick, because emotional health is one of the 5, you know, marks of a healthy leader. But we also talk about spiritual health in that. We talk about missional health, which we talked about last week quite a bit, being committed to the mission of the church. We talk about relational health, which is kind of the other side of EQ. EQ is about relational health and emotional health. It's about regulating yourself and being healthy internally, but also then how that impacts your relationship with other people. And those two things are so valuable on a board, to have emotionally and relationally healthy people, because it just creates so much dysfunction when you don't have that on your team. And then the 5th mark of a healthy leader is financial, which obviously that's important, that your board is dealing with finances and making decisions about the finances of the church. So you better be committed financially to the church. You better be a good giver.
Yeah. Let me just take a minute and just bullet point the things that we've said in our document on emotional health and relational health. I think those will be helpful. So emotional health, we're saying leaders celebrate their strengths, take ownership of their weaknesses. Leaders are teachable. They admit areas of need. They seek out and accept honest feedback. They commit to continuous growth and improvement. 3, leaders remain positive and engaged when decisions are made that are contrary to their desires or point of view. You can see how all those things would really fit in the board setting. And then in terms of relational health, relational maturity, leaders care about people, not just about getting job done. Leaders celebrate and defend others on the team. What a great thing on a board. Leaders engage in conflict well, speaking the truth in love. When leaders have a problem with someone, they speak to that person first and encourage others to do the same. And then also leaders define success in team versus individual terms, desire to see the church and the kingdom prosper, not just themselves. So you can see, again, this is something that we have for all of our leaders, in the church, but you can see how relevant those would be to someone on a board and having, you know, being a great board member. That would really add up.
Yeah, and honestly, I want to just speak to board members and pastors who are thinking about inviting someone else onto the board. You should think about those. You know, we include the profile of a healthy leader. We talk about that with every staff member, every governing board member that comes on.
Yeah, and by the way, it's in the covenant. We talked last episode about the board member covenant, and that's part of the covenant that they would agree to this.
Yeah, which is huge. So that means, again, if you're considering adding another person, it really is important to do your due diligence and say, is this person generally a healthy leader, a healthy individual? Or are they backbiting? Are they gossipy? Are they known for some of these things? Are they not willing to own up to their mistakes? These are so important. It's hard, you know, for grown men and women, it's so hard to teach an old dog new tricks. So not that God can't change a person, but I don't think you should bring someone on the team, on the board, if you know that they don't really... they're not a healthy leader. I think look elsewhere, right? And encourage them to develop their health. And maybe down the road, you can bring them on. But I think it's just important, you know, healthy churches start with healthy leadership. And so Ross, I guess it's kind of a gut check for people listening to this saying, man, I don't know. I feel like some of that stuff Ross just read, I struggle with. What would you say to that board member or even senior pastor? Because senior pastors can sometimes struggle with these things. What would you say to those people who are really starting to maybe question their fit for the team at this point?
Well, I'd say, can I address this? Do I own this? Can I address it? Am I humble enough to say, yeah, this is talking about me? And then find some partners to help, you know, to help you grow in this area. If you're just going like, well, that's not me and I don't care, well, then you should resign from leadership, really. You know, this points out that no matter how much expertise a person has, we want to have somebody on the board who is smart about, you know, business or a lawyer or whatever. No matter how much expertise they have that can help the board, if they're not emotionally mature, then that's going to be far exceeded by the damage that they'll do in the board relationships in the board setting.
Okay, so that's the first trait to really cultivate is to be a healthy person, to be a spiritually healthy person, which includes emotional, relational health, all these things. The second category, Ross, is just under the heading of teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work. So talk us through that one.
Okay. And so that, you know, that's touched on in the healthiness, but to be a great board member, you have to define success in team terms versus individual terms. It's where, you know, you're going to work in good faith with members, other peers on the board. You're going to respect the opinions and the insights and the convictions of other people, even if you don't agree with them. You're going to try to figure out, where's that coming from? And I get, oh, your experience is different than mine. So you have a different perspective about things. We talked about coming to meetings prepared. So you're not the weak link in the meeting. You're not letting the team down because you don't have anything to offer. But being courteous and caring and speaking the truth without being divisive and, you know, disagreeing without being disrespectful. And so this positive, supportive attitude toward the whole team, but maybe toward the leaders of the team too. So you have a great attitude toward the chairman. And toward the members of the church staff, because you're all part of this bigger team. It's a sense of, you know, honestly, we were watching NCAA basketball, the March Madness recently, and you could just tell what team when people on the team were unselfish versus teams that had someone who would want to dominate. And for the men's bracket, the most unselfish team actually won, it seemed like. So there's really something about that. It's not just a slogan, but there's really something about seeing every member of the team succeed for the common goal.
The next category is just a simple word, investment. And around our church, Ross, we talk about the difference between an attender or a spectator and an owner, or you know, sometimes we say an owner versus a renter. You know, maybe for any of our listeners who, when they were younger, maybe they rented an apartment, you have a different, you look at your apartment differently than if you own a home. And really that's kind of what we want our governing board members to see themselves as owners in the church in every sense of the word.
Yeah. And so that investment could be a couple of things. It could be, financial. We expect our board members to be generous financial contributors, because part of that is not just are they invested in the life of the church and approving it by their choices, but hey, these are the guys who have the final say about how the church uses its financial resources. So years ago, I had a board member who wanted to help. You know, I didn't know he was a minimal financial contributor. Once I find that out, I said, wait a minute. You think you're making decisions about the money the church has, how to spend the money, but you're not giving anything to it. So how is that not hypocritical for you to say, I'm going to have some control over the decisions of the church? So you being a generous financial contributor is clearly a mark of investment. But other things too, you know, prayer is a mark of investment. We talk about not just being, you mentioned not just being like an attender or a spectator, but a ministry participant. So again, we've talked in previous episodes about, you know, how we don't want the board members to get involved in operations. And we talked about the three ministry hats, where one of those is when you're involved in your ministry, you're not representing the board when you're a youth leader. But you know, we have on our board, all the guys are involved in ministry in some way or other. We have some people who play on worship teams. We have, you know, some people who are involved in, you know, different kind of projects. Some of them are leading small groups. Some of them are doing discipleship or mentoring relationships. And so we could go down the list and say, oh, here, this person is, you know, serving in their campus in this particular way. It shows that they're invested. It matters to them.
You know, this next one, Ross, we could probably spend 3 or 4 episodes on, but I'm glad we're covering this here before we're done with the series. And it has to do with wise diplomacy, because as a board member, I'm sure you're going to have members of your church, when they know that you're a board member, they're going to do an end around. Instead of going to a pastor or a ministry leader, they're going to approach you with some grievance or some kind of a complaint. Russ, talk through, like, how should a board member handle that in a wise way, where they're not, you know, being rude and mean to that member, but they're really being a good diplomat and a good team member as a part of the board.
So, I mean, someone comes to you, typically in my experience over the years, someone has come to me with a complaint or some kind of a hobby horse or something like that. Very, very seldom are those worthy of, you know, the board's attention, or very seldom are those guys, I'm going like, oh, I never thought about that. Let's change everything. You know, somebody's disgruntled usually. Now there may be some data that helps me to know, but I want to handle those maturely, because as a board member, you have limits and boundaries, but you also have a lot of responsibility. And so I think first thing, just understanding that people are going to approach you. There's going to be some people who approach you because they think that you have some sway, that you can be, you know, used by them, whatever, to get their way in some way or another. And so they're going to be immature reasons. Maybe a staff member didn't tell them what they wanted to hear, so they said, I'm going to go talk to a board member. Maybe they don't want to have a direct conversation with somebody, where, you know, we said that emotional and relational health means that if you have a grievance, you go talk to that person directly. Well, maybe they aren't willing to do that, and so they want to come and get a board member involved. Or maybe they just like the attention. They want to feel important, whatever. And so it's really important for the board members to understand their role and to handle those kind of conversations with a lot of wisdom.
Yeah, let's walk through real quick, Ross, these six six keys or six, I don't know, six action steps maybe. This could be its own sermon. This is so good. I love this. For how to handle it when someone comes to you as a board member with a complaint. Number one, protect the staff and leadership. And we're not saying like you're being loyal to them and closing your, you know, like if there's a genuine complaint, that's something different. But we're talking about where it's you know that the staff and leadership really aren't in the wrong here.
Right. Somebody's going to bring you a trivial grievance or an unfounded grievance. And then I don't want to appear to give a sympathetic ear to that. I don't want to appear to that person. I could be diplomatic in the wrong way. I don't want somebody to not like me, right? So I'm going to go, oh yeah, I get it. I understand what you're saying. But by doing that too much, then I have exposed that staff person that they're talking mm-hmm. about. I've exposed the leader to say, you know, I don't want that grievance to be validated because I listened empathetically, but I never said anything in defense of the person that they're
complaining about. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Okay, number two. This is so good, Ross. Don't promise to go talk to a third party. And this is a biblical thing, right? But it's tempting to do that. Say, I'll go talk to that person for you.
Yeah, that's the thing. I want to be, again, so often the situation is I want to be affirming. I want to be positive. I want to be liked or whatever. So one way to do that is say, oh, yeah, I'll go see what they think, what they say to that. But biblically, again, that's unbiblical because if the person has an issue, whether it's a staff member, whether it's a ministry volunteer leader, whatever, that's their responsibility biblically to go have that conversation. And so if I step into that, then I'm letting them off the hook from their obedience to God. And I'm short-circuiting all the ways that they could grow and learn from doing the right thing if I promise to go do something that enables them.
Okay, number three, don't accept generalizations. And here's the thing. A lot of complainers don't talk about their issues specifically. They'll say a lot of people believe. And so you're saying, Ross, don't accept it. Don't accept the generalization.
Yeah. People are saying, you know, I've had this happen so many times in pastoral ministry where somebody who's come to me and they want to make their point and they want to like create gravity or some mass or momentum for the point they're trying to make. And so they could inflate the weight of it by claiming there's all these people out there who think the same way. And honestly, I have no idea if those people even exist. And if they, because they're not named. And if they do exist, then they need to step up and speak for themselves. Mm. Back to the principle before, that's biblical. And if they don't exist, then the person who is approaching me is lying to me. You know, they're being deceptive. And so I'm not going to accept a generalization. Oh, all these people think that way, because that would assume also that person who's coming to me has a greater omniscience, you know, than they really have, that they really know the hearts and the minds of, and then maybe somebody said something to them, but they took it and morphed it into their perspective. So there's a lot of reasons why I just not to be diplomatic, to protect the process, the board, the leadership, the credibility, I have to say, no, I'm not going to accept some kind of unspecified generalization.
Okay, number four, don't promise unconditional confidentiality, because this is where it starts to feel like gossip, right?
Right. And there's people, you can see why people would come and say, oh, you can't tell anybody about this. Can you keep this between us? Because they don't necessarily want to take full responsibility for their action or their perspective. Or for their complaint. And so sometimes they'll request confidentiality as kind of a dodge to avoid, you know, really having to own what they're saying. If there's a real problem, though, then other people are going to have to be brought into the situation because other people are going to have to deal with it. And so I can't guarantee confidentiality. And so I don't want to even pretend like, oh, yeah, we can, I need to probably tell them up front, say, you know, whatever you tell me, I'm going to have to share with other people. So I want you to know that I can't you know, keep confidentiality with this. If this is important to you, then you need to own it.
The fifth one is kind of related to not promising to talk to a third party. In general, Ross, you say, don't promise to take care of the issue for them, because really it might not be, honestly, it might not even really be an issue for you to take care of. It might not be a governing board responsibility, and they might not understand that.
Right. And say, oh, I'll go make sure that that never happens again, or whatever the thing is, or, oh, I'll make sure there's the right kind of donuts on Sunday, you know, the kind you like. But that trains people to expect you as a board member to be at their personal disposal. That creates a codependency kind of relationship. What's more, the issue might not be worth your time or effort. Like you as a board member, you've got plenty on your plate. You've got important things to deal with. But it might also not be an issue that falls within the legitimate responsibility of the board. They're coming to you as a board member, not just as a friend or not just as a person in the church. They're coming to you as a board member. And for you then to take action on that on their behalf would be for you to muddy the waters about what your board responsibilities actually are. And so, you know, and then on top of it all, you may not be able to even do it to solve the problem for them. So it's better to just direct them to the person who can help them if it's legitimate. And that will also help them to say, oh, I've got to deal with this myself.
So overall, when you're dealing with a complainer, Ross, I think the overarching message is be kind, but be honest and firm. And probably some people are listening to this. I would say people pleasers might be listening to this saying, this doesn't sound kind to me. This sounds honest and firm, but I'm having a hard time thinking that I could pull this off because I'm kind of a people pleaser and I don't want to hurt someone's feelings. So how is what you've just described, how is it kind?
Right. Well, I tend to be a conflict avoider, so I get that. I get what you're saying, Brian. It's kind to them because, well, it can be kind depending how I say it and how I approach it. If I'm actually, I want to listen, I want to be patient with them, but it's kind because also it helps them to grow. It helps them to become a more emotionally and relationally healthy person. But, you know, I might have to overcome my conflict avoidance a little bit to talk to them about, why are you doing this? Why are you taking this backdoor approach? What's going on with you? And maybe you need to grow, but maybe they also have some like devious motive or whatever. And so I want to challenge them to become part of the solution. And here's the last thing I would say about this is that, you know, complainers have a focus on the negative sometimes. So I want to help them to see some positive things, to celebrate some things that are happening, you know, in the life of the church or through that leader that they're complaining about, whatever, rather than just things to complain about.
So, Ross, I'm glad we included that really helpful section on wise diplomacy, but we want to end today's episode and this whole series with just this challenge to board members. And it's really a challenge to continue to grow because nobody's perfect. Nobody has arrived. You're always going to be growing and learning. You might need to go back and do this whole series again. And so Ross, speak to this in two areas. First of all, a commitment to continuing to grow as a board member with your skills, with your wisdom for the sort of the business side of the job. But then I think it'd be good to finish today and to finish this whole series by talking about continuing to grow in your relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, for sure. Both those are really important. To start with, you know, how well are you doing as a board member? Your board skills, your board wisdom. There's so many things that are out there I haven't mastered a lot of these things. I just keep having to be reminded about them over and over again. And so there's lots of room to grow and become more effective as a board member in a church. And so I need to be willing to assess how I'm doing, how I'm making it as a board member. I need to be willing to receive feedback from other people. And I want to welcome opportunities to be trained and to enhance those governance skills and to understand more about the role, what's involved. And so I want to learn more about how good governance works in the ideal and theoretical, and then I want to learn how to do that. And so we've relied a lot on resources from the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, ECFA. They have tons on their website. They have tons of great resources, webinars, articles, lots and lots of some videos and stuff to help this kind of improvement, to help me improve and grow as a member of the board who's going to do a great job of leading and governing the church toward its mission. That's number one. And then really more important, they're both really important. They go together. But we just want to close by encouraging you to continue growing in your relationship with Jesus. You know, we've talked throughout the series about that spiritual part of it and how really that's how we choose board members. That's how we, you know, interact as a board in our meetings and so forth, that we really are, there's this spiritual component, this spiritual dimension. We're seeking God's leading, the seeking the Holy Spirit's empowerment and wisdom. And so you got to keep growing. Now, a lot of times a person comes on the board, they may be more mature in life because of their life experience, they have some years, but the pitfall of that is that we can be sitting on the laurels of past experience. I can still be at the same place that I was when I, you know, God really spoke to me at that retreat long ago. And so I don't want to be in that place. I want to continue to develop a greater and greater intimacy with Jesus. I want to continue to take steps of faith. I want to continue to embrace new challenges, new changes as the Holy Spirit leads and as he speaks to me to say, how is my life being sanctified and being transformed into the image of his son? And so that's really the ultimate. You can be they're not mutually exclusive. You can be great at board leading skills and great at intimacy with Jesus, but you can be great at board leading skills and not so great at your intimacy with Jesus. That would be a pitfall that any board member, to be a great board member, you want to avoid. So we just encourage you to keep on pursuing your relationship with God through Jesus Christ.
Well, Ross, great job with this series. And just for any of our listeners, maybe you've come across this on our training podcast and you're just listening to the podcast, I want to just maybe end today's episode and end this series with just some basic instructions on how to use resources like this series and other resources at pursuegod.org. Pursue God is a podcast-based discipleship library. So here's how it's intended to be used. Find the series at the training page at pursuegod.org. Share it with your board members, with prospective board members. And what you do is this. It's a little bit different than a lot of discipleship tools out there, but it's super helpful. And it's if you do it right, I think it could impact not just your board, but it could impact your small groups and your staff and even your own personal disciple making. So the way it works is you send out the series to your board and you say, let's go through this series over the next 5 weeks and encourage everybody to listen to the podcast on their own ahead of time. You know, you don't come together and listen to the podcast together for 45 minutes. That would be a long meeting. You listen to it on your own. People can take their notes. And then we've got talking points and discussion questions for each lesson. And when you come together, then you can just really have a conversation about what people have gained from listening to the podcast. Don't feel compelled to answer every single question together as a group. Let the Spirit lead as you do it. And I think that this kind of strategy can really help your board members to get on the same page with these kinds of things, and then use that same strategy for some of the other series that you can find at pursuegod.org. We've got a series on Bible basics, on Systheo, Calvinism versus Arminianism. We go through books, you know, the book of Mark, the book of Ephesians, Galatians. All of these resources are available. All of it is free. And you can find it at pursuegod.org. So use this to grow your own board, to grow your own church, and to make disciples who make disciples. That's the goal of pursuegod.org. Thanks for listening. Hey, listeners, this is Brian Dwyer reminding you to rate this show on your favorite podcast app. That really does help us when you do that. That way more people can discover this podcast and start listening. And also, don't forget to share the podcast with a friend.